And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. It's another edition of Tell Al Tuesday. I've asked Robert to come back on the show because I've got some unfinished business with Robert. I do. I have a lot of unfinished business with Robert. As a matter of fact, the guy has a brilliant mind. He's been in the real estate industry his entire life. We'll get into that as we pursue this radio show. But more importantly, what I want to talk about with Robert is I want to get into the business aspect of what he does. And I want to kind of compare it to what he used to do for the industry. It's a completely day and night thing. And Robert is seeing both sides of the aisle, if you will, or both sides of the table. And he is well versed in order to explain all this stuff to us. So let me do this. Let me bring Robert onto the show because I've got a lot of stuff. Robert, welcome back to the show. I'm so glad you took some time out of your busy schedule to spend a little time with me in the audience. I'm looking forward to what you've got to say because I know there's a lot of brilliance running around in that beautiful mind of yours.
Well, no pressure there, right?
None at all. How you doing today? You having a good day?
I'm doing great.
How's business?
Business is good. You know, we're looking for our next deal, but it's got to make sense. So I've been looking for a year and a half probably, but nothing's made sense. But I'm getting more encouraged that we're going to find something.
You know, you make me feel a little better because I've been looking for 10 months now, and I found a lot of things that kind of look like they might work. But when you start putting the pencil to the paper and looking at the math, you start realizing that there's a lot of problems between what the property is being offered for and what you're willing to pay for the property. Are you running into the same problem that I'm running into?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, between interest rates, what the banks will lend, and I obviously the asking price. But and then another component that I'm looking at is that when you go through these kind of cycles, you've got some current owners who have run out of money, so they've started deferring stuff. So you've got to be really careful about doing your due diligence because you could walk into an asset that is a money pit that you think, oh, it looks pretty good, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You end up spending all your money on deferred maintenance.
Well, that could kill your business plan, couldn't it?
In a heartbeat.
So how do you guard against things like that? What are you doing to make sure that doesn't happen to you in your next deal?
Well, the due diligence needs to be, I mean, it has totally changed. You know, 4 years ago, whatever, when at the top of the market, it was just, everybody just wanted to get the deal. And I even know some buyers said, we're not even doing due diligence. And I won't name the company, but there's one of the biggest companies in the country said, we don't do due diligence. We just need to get the asset. So it got that frothy. Whereas now, because of what I said about deferred, I feel like you've got to really get in there, do a detailed. First of all, you got to run your numbers, and the numbers make sense. You put in your letter of intent, then you do your due diligence, and you just need to do a very detailed due diligence.
Now, do you do that due diligence by yourself, or do you have people assisting you?
You'd have a big team, because you've got to have people go in and do a lease file audit, because I've seen a lot of properties where they phony up their occupancy. They're probably really 80%, but they've filled it up with unqualified people, and they're 92% in air quotes. So you walk in, and then you have to evict a lot of people. You have to do a physical due diligence to really check stuff, check the plumbing. I mean, just a detailed, in-depth due diligence.
Do you scope the lines and go to that extent, or do you take the seller's word that everything's good?
You do that because you can have what's called elbows underneath, broken lines, all kinds of stuff that. That's a great example. If you buy the property thinking, I've got my marvelous little capital improvement project that we're going to do on this deal, and then suddenly $40,000, $60,000, $70,000 of your money is in a foundation in the middle of a building that you have to tear up and relay the piping. So, you better know what you're getting into. And even with all that being said, there are still going to be surprises.
How do you guard against the surprises?
The biggest mistake I've seen people make is they don't raise enough capital because they're trying to make their numbers look better. I would rather over-raise capital and explain why. It's like, this is why the returns may not look as good as what you're wanting, but this is how I really see the deal working. And then, worst-case scenario, if you get into it a year, year and a half, 2 years later, and you're like, okay, we can give some of these funds back. We're not going to need them. You'd rather be in that position than not have the money when you need it.
So really, all the hard work or the heavy lifting occurs at the beginning of the deal as you're analyzing the deal and trying to figure out what's going on with the property, what's going on with the leases, what's going on with the residents. You're trying to get a holistic view of the entire asset and making sure that everything, to include the systems and the people, et cetera, it all makes sense for your investing strategy. Am I onto something?
Yeah, you're spot on. Early in the industry, I had someone train me that for every one day you allow a problem to persist, it's going to take you at least 3 days to correct it. So a good due diligence, a good takeover, setting up every systems and all of that stuff correctly on the front end, getting to the bottom of where this property really is and where you need it to be as far as operationally, is so critical. Because if you don't, it's like a snowball coming down the hill.
So I just received an email from you talking about, well, what did you email me? Are you willing to share that with the audience? I mean, is there any proprietary information in there we need to protect?
No, it's fine to share.
Okay. So what were you sharing with me and all of your passive investors that are connected with you? What was in that document?
I went through the markets and kind of where we've been, and I think it has scared. Well, we've gone through, in my career, I've gone through three down cycles, this being like the third worst. The 80s was the worst, 82, then 2009, but second. This was like the third worst. So for people that have just gone through this one, they're like, you're kidding, it could be worse than this. Yes, I've seen it a lot worse, but it has frozen a lot of people. It has scared a lot of people, myself included. And part of what I was trying to communicate is that the markets are now turning. This is very cyclical. Values are starting to make sense. Deals are starting to make sense. And this is where we need to not be frozen and need to start really looking at deals again. We're about to be on a great, I don't know, 5 or 7 or 10 year run where buying apartments makes a whole lot of sense again. And just that we need to get out of our frozen state and be encouraged again.
I think the big danger that guys like us are running into is the man, this just doesn't seem to be working. But we do have experience knowing that this stuff works. I mean, you and I have been a member of Lifestyles Unlimited long enough to know that the cycles do what the cycles do. And I think you're spot on. I think we are kind of at the bottom of we'll call it a national cycle. And with the multifamily space, I do absolutely agree with you that this is the time to buy. The big challenge is finding those sellers that, you know, are going to get realistic with what pricing has done, because pricing has come down. I mean, you've seen that, haven't you?
Oh, it's come down 30-40%, which is just a crusher when you bought at the top of the market. I mean, we had a deal where we were beating our pro forma, but then when you see the market, the valuations drop so much, it's like hard to recover from that. So you got a lot of owners that are still, you know, the expression in the industry was, in 2022 was extend and pretend, or meaning just get to the other side, or extend, or what was it? Something till 25, survive until 25. It was kind of like, things are going to be better. It's the yellow brick road. It's going to all be better in 2025. Well, we're here and things haven't gotten better. Values haven't come back to 2022 levels. And it's starting to set in for some of these owners where they're like, I got to get out. So those deals are about to come to market. My only concern there is going to be what I said earlier, is about, you really need to check on how much they've deferred on those deals because they ran out of cash. But there's about to be deals out there, really good deals.
So what kind of deferred maintenance are you looking for? What do you think these guys are potentially doing just to kick the can down the road?
I've seen worst case scenarios where it's just they have no money, so they're doing nothing. Work orders aren't getting done, basic stuff. So you've got dripping faucets and, you know, mold and mildew growing in units. You've got plumbing leaks that haven't been fixed, irrigation that's been turned off. So the landscaping is all dying. I mean, on and on, roof repairs that need to be done.
So these guys are really in financial trouble, and they're just praying that something's going to happen, like interest rates come down, cap rates change. But we're not seeing that. I mean, I'm not seeing. Are you seeing that?
Not yet. I think where some people or a lot of people are still so scared is all the uncertainties in the markets. You know, it's like this week rates have gone back up, and it's like, what is the new normal? And I think there's so much what's called dry powder. There's so much capital sitting on the sidelines ready and wanting to invest. I mean, billions and billions of dollars with some of these giant companies. I think everybody's just waiting to go to know, when have we hit bottom? When is there some certainty in the market? And when they do, I think things are going to go on fire as far as, like, there's going to be a ton of activity, people buying again. But you don't want to buy when things are still going down, right? So that's the uncertainty.
Yeah, because there is a challenge with that, because you could be buying essentially at the top of the market at that time. The market adjusts, you're in a problem state. So, you know, these are the things that we as Lifestyles Unlimited members, we talk about. And I'm going to continue the conversation after the break with Robert. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Life is challenging and ever-changing. Take control with passive income through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Del Walmsley and Lifestyles Unlimited's investors and mentors show you. Meet Del's team and get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon. I'm joined by Robert. Together, we are working on your financial freedom. And what I'm doing is I'm just kind of having a one-on-one conversation with Robert. I'm picking his brain. And this is the kind of behavior that you can expect when you become a Lifestyles Unlimited member. When we get together and we socialize, we network, we do all the things that we do, the first thing that we normally want to talk about is real estate, because it's the one thing we as Lifestyles Unlimited members have in common. We either own single family or we own multifamily, or we're in a particular state where we're getting ready to buy into either of those mediums, because we have educated ourselves, we have learned how to correctly invest, and we've got a plan to get ourselves to a place of retirement in about 5 years. Now, some of us get it done sooner. Some people take a little more time. It really doesn't matter. 5 years is kind of the sweet spot. And I got it done in 2 years. Robert, how long did it take you until you felt you were absolutely comfortable that your passive income had replaced that massive six-figure income you were getting when you had the corner office?
It took me about 2.5 years.
Okay. So What I want to share with the audience is that that's a real result. I'm a real result. You're a real result. I mean, do the people that you know, I mean, are they in the Deuces Club like we are? Or do most of your acquaintances in Lifestyles Unlimited, do they take a little more time?
It just depends on, you know, how aggressive they are as far as like how quickly they're getting into it. Some people join as a passive. And then after a couple of deals, like, okay, I'm more comfortable. I'm going to become a lead. So I think it probably skews closer to the 4 years on average would be my guess, but I've known a lot of people that are 2.5 to 3 years.
Yeah, I've interviewed a lot of them on the show. I mean, we might have to recommend to Dell that maybe you ought to change the tagline, because it seems like people are able to accomplish it as long as they have the education and they have the wherewithal to get it done. I mean, could you have done this on your own? Could you have done this without the assistance of Lifestyles Unlimited?
Great question, because I actually tried. I was the national PAC chair for National Apartment Association for 2 years, raising over like more than $1 million a year. And I thought, oh, I can do this. I've raised money. And I thought, I'm going to go out and buy a deal. I don't need Lifestyles, even though John Ridgway's trying, like, you really need to join Lifestyles. Like, I can do this on my own. and I saw people, the door would open and see me, and they would turn around. I'd go, God, Robert. So I quickly learned that raising the money wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. But also, there's a whole lot more. You don't just say, hey, I'm going to go now buy a deal. You need to have relationships with brokers so they're putting good deals in front of you. You need the education that Lifestyles teaches you, because there's a whole lot more to this than just buying. There's a whole lot more to this than just property management. You need to understand tax consequences, human personnel, HR. There's all kinds of stuff you need to know. So the education is really critical.
How important was mentorship to you? I mean, did you take advantage of the mentoring Lifestyles Unlimited offers?
We're on the phone all the time. And we have also, in addition to that, we have a group of about probably 8 to 10 leads up here in the DFW area that all call each other, email, text each other, asking questions, bouncing ideas off of each other, saying, what would you do when this happens? So the wealth of knowledge and the mentoring is amazing. I mean, I can't think Ford and GM employees are going to be helping each other out.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, you know, they're more interested in destroying each other, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, because that's the nature of corporate America. It's all you know, kill or be killed. I kind of sound like I'm talking about the Army, but I think corporate America is that way. And you know, you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, and you shed all of that stuff, because we pretty much tell you that we're going to tell you what we're going to tell you. We're going to tell it to you straight. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're going to give you the information you need. It's amazing that you can go to a Lifestyles Unlimited event, and the first thing you can ask somebody after you shake their hand is, what's your net worth? And they'll tell you. I mean, have you experienced that?
I went to Charles Ho's office. He was a mentor. He's still a member, but he was a mentor at the time. And he flips his computer screen around and goes, what do you want to know? And he pulled up financials. And I'm talking about his financials, not like a property. Like, this is how much I'm making. This is my net worth. This is where I started. This is where I'm at now. I mean, real numbers.
What's it like to have somebody do that to you? I mean, do you think they're showing off, or is there something else going on there?
Transparency of it was what was so cool to me, is this, but this isn't just some sales pitch, you know, join this thing and see you later. I mean, it's like, no, this is really a plan that works. Let me show you how it works. These are real numbers, real people. I've got, not only am I a lead investor, a syndicator, I've made all this networking with other people. We'll get so excited when another lead gets a deal, rather than being like, oh, that was a deal I could have possibly had. We get not only get excited for that lead, we invest with that lead. So I'm now invested with other leads in more units than I own as a lead. That's how much we trust each other and network with each other.
Interesting. So there's all kinds of branches and sequels for investing that we can do with each other, because we've developed the relationships and we're complying with everything the SEC requires us to do, right?
Yeah. And when the tide is rising, all boats rise. So it's like, let's help each other.
Have you been able to get into some nice deals recently?
I've invested as a passive in 2 deals this year with leads I trust that I know really well. Yeah.
Where are those properties at?
They're both in DFW.
And why do you like DFW?
More than anything, the most critical thing is I like the lead. I know the lead. So nothing against any other leads throughout the country, but I don't know the Phoenix or Nashville market. I know some leads that do other areas, but I don't know them and their history and all of that. These are leads I know, I've networked with, we've helped each other a lot. So it's more that, first of all. And then secondly, I know the DFW market. So if they're in a part of town I wouldn't want to be interested in, I probably would not invest with them.
So it's really a level of trust. You've gone way beyond relationships. You're in a trust mode with these people.
Yeah, and you need to be. I mean, they're being stewards of your retirement money, right? Big chunks of money.
Yeah, I mean, how much do you give them? Like, is it 50,000, 100,000? What are you investing?
Probably it's about 100. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, if I were to hand you $100,000, I probably need to have some faith, confidence, and trust in you to do the right thing with that money.
That's right. And then really good communication ongoing. from that point on, so that, yeah, that relationship is solid.
And the neat thing is we all have the same baseline of education. We've all gone through the Financial Freedom Seminar. We've all educated ourselves with regards to the type of investing we've chosen to do. If we've decided to become lead investors, we take that educational track. If we decide to become passive investors, we take that educational track. If we decide to become single family investors, there's an educational track for that too. If we just want to sit on our hands, you know, I noticed there's no educational track for that. Have you found that one?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you can educate yourself to death, but if you don't take action, then why are you doing all this, right?
That's exactly right.
So those of you in the audience, do you think you can learn something from somebody who's got multiple decades of experience in property management, and on top of that, has built his own property management company? I think you can. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just turn Robert loose, because what I really want to understand, Robert, is how easy or difficult was it to transition from being a full-time property manager into being the owner of the property management company? Go ahead.
You know, at the big corporate corner office, if an accounting issue came up, I called accounting. If an HR problem came up, I called HR. So I had departments, right? And I had people. Well, then the biggest fear for me was, gosh, how do I do this if I'm going to do this on my own? And that's one of the beauties about Lifestyles, is I've got this ongoing in-depth vendor list where you can find the CPA, you can find the HR department to help you with these other things that could be very, very costly if you don't do them right. But they've got experts that can help you in all of these different fields. So once I got comfortable with that and found the companies that I liked, that helped me build out my management company very quickly.
How long did it take to get that done?
I'm not going to lie. There were some trials and errors with, say, CPAs. We had to go through probably three CPAs before we found the one we really liked. But it doesn't take that long. It's like we talked about before the break. It comes down to just taking action, you know, being on top of it.
So these people you bring onto your team, are they employees? How do you utilize them?
We hire out, say, like the HR piece. We hire out a company that does our payroll. Obviously, we approve the payroll, submit it, review it. But they handle all of that and the regulations and laws relating to all of the personnel type stuff. So we contract out with that, the CPA for the annual financial statements and K-1s, we contract out, but the monthly accounting we do ourselves in-house.
Okay, now why do you choose to do the accounting as opposed to have a third party do it for you?
Just because, I mean, we have the expertise and the ability to do it, and honestly, we're quicker. We're able to get our monthly reports out to our investors usually by the 10th to the 12th of the following month, where what's normally in the industry is 30 days later, 45 days later. So to me, that's important, because if it's May, I want to get May's reports when they're still relevant, not in July when it's history. So that's what we just chosen to do that in-house.
So really it's a business decision that supports your business model. I mean, you have a desire to keep your investors informed. You have a desire to understand what's going on with your particular asset. And it's just easier if you're hands-on. That's kind of what I'm taking away.
Yeah, if we had a third-party management company, it would be probably just as good, but slower, because you know, you're dealing with an accountant over there that's dealing with who knows how many properties, 30 properties. She's under the gun, so she or he may make some mistakes, where we can just be a lot more meticulous with our small portfolio.
Now, do you have any employees?
I have a partner. It's just the two of us.
Okay, so you contract out all of your labor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, our teams on site are our employees, yes.
Ah, okay. All right, that's what I was getting at. How many people are employed under you?
Our portfolio got up to about 1,700 units, but then fortunately we sold all but one right before the crash. One we sold during the crash, but we're down to one property. So on that one property, we've got two inside in the office and three maintenance guys. So five people.
Wow, five people. It must be a fairly big property.
Yeah, it's 230.
Okay. So it supports that level of personnel working on that asset.
Yes. But I will tell you, because the old adage in the industry is one person per 100 units, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But with AI and so many other technological advances now, I don't know that that's necessarily true. But the first deal we bought with Lifestyles was 120 units, and everybody would run that with one person. So the problem with that is if that person's out sick, if that person can't work 7 days a week, that person wants to take a vacation. So we intentionally hired two people, which is just unheard of, but we're like, we're going to give a level of service that people aren't used to, and we're going to actually be in the office and be here for business. So we got that thing screaming at like 96-97% occupied and sold it for a massive amount of money, a massive profit in about 2 years. And it was interesting because who bought it immediately took it back to one person. It immediately went to about 85% occupied and got run down.
So what do you think the secret to success is between what you did and what somebody else did? I mean, I realize there's a second person there, but what is that second person really doing for you as far as a level of customer service that your residents are receiving that the follow-on guy didn't provide?
So you just nailed it when you said customer service. My last W-2 job, we were rated number one in the nation for customer service 6 or 7 years in a row. Took a lot of pride in that because my philosophy is if you take care of your customer, you take care of your employees, and everybody has a clear mission about these are the things that are important to us, everything else seems to take care of itself. The property is better. The financials are definitely better. The investors are obviously happier. Too many owners don't focus on those on-site employees, don't focus on the customer service side of it. And we're fanatics about customer service.
Yeah, I absolutely believe in it. I mean, I'm kind of a student of the Peter Drucker approach to management, which is basically what you just described. You know, focus on your customer, focused on what outcomes you're trying to achieve, stay focused on those things, and the rest of the stuff kind of sorts itself out. So, I mean, you're proving that concept actually works. And, hey, good on you.
Well, and I'll give you another example. I was talking to another lead last month who was looking for a manager, and he's like, golly, we're not finding anybody at the $40,000 or $50,000 we want to pay. I'm not going to say overpay, but I'd rather pay more and get somebody that's really competent and good than pay somebody that's not qualified, and then I'm probably going to have to churn through three managers in the next 2 years until I find somebody that's semi-qualified. So we'll pay actually a little bit more, and people will look at our payroll and go, wow, that's higher than normal. I'm like, yeah, and our occupancy is higher than normal. Our rents lead the market. So that's just stuff I've learned from experience through the years. It's like there's places to save money, and there's places where you can be penny-wise and pound-foolish that really hurt the asset.
Yeah, I'm kind of just my head is spinning right now, and I'm thinking about the fact that if you have that second person on, yeah, your expenses go up, but you know the difference between 85% occupancy and 97% occupancy is massively huge, right?
Yeah, what I would do is tell the leasing staff and maintenance staff, if you get this property up to X occupied, we're going to pay each one of you like a $1,500 bonus, and this leads to we can't afford that. It's like, no, you're missing the point. Right now, you've got vacancy loss. That airplane seat is leaving the terminal, never to be sold again. Vacancy loss, it's an expense, and you're losing it every single day. What I'm saying is that when you get this thing leased up to this percentage occupied, and they're paying the rent, so our income has gone up. So say their income's gone up $20,000, and you're going to pay the staff four versus losing $20,000 in vacancy loss, I think that's a win-win. And you could just see the light bulb going off like, oh, that's a great idea. But most people don't think about, let me incentivize the staff to get us where we need to get to.
Yeah, and if you're a member of the staff, all of a sudden you start thinking, wow, these guys think I'm a valuable asset. As a matter of fact, they're willing to pay me even more money to do the job that they hired me to do. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bust my butt, and I'm going to give them 110%. And that's the kind of result you're getting, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
And so, I mean, so you've actually developed a relationship with your employees because you value them, you pay them what they're worth. They get more money than they could get if they work for somebody else. And I'm guessing when you buy another asset, they might want to stick around and continue working with you. Is that part of the plan?
The staff that we have at our one remaining deal has traveled with us from three deals. If they want to stay with us. Could they go work for a REIT or something to make more money? Sure. But they appreciate and value that we value them. So, yeah, they have literally, we've sold a property. They're like, please take us. We move them to another property. They're on their third or fourth property. I'm talking the entire staff has moved with us.
That's something called loyalty, Robert. You've created loyalty, something that doesn't really exist in corporate America anymore. It doesn't exist in the military anymore, but it exists within your business model. And you are proof positive that if you do the things that we teach you to do at Lifestyles Unlimited, you will change your future. If you want to do what Robert's doing, you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.